The following takes place between 7 p.m. and 8 p.m.
All right, here we go. 707-700-WLW. This is Arnell Global Logistics Sports Talk. It is presented by Kelsey Chevrolet. I'm Lance McAllister. Happy to have you here. We've got 2 hours to get it done tonight. Got a lot of ground to cover. Not much time to do it. We are guest heavy tonight. Let's do this first. Let's backtrack and let's talk a little college football. UC football, the countdown is on now to December 31st. College football playoffs in a matchup versus the Alabama Crimson Tide. Let's go back to Saturday night. As the game ended, it sounded like this on 700 WLW.
Toon reaches up to make a one-handed catch. Hands it off to Marcus Jones. He is tackled at the 34.
That's it!
And it is over. Zero losses. Zero doubt. The UC Bearcats are unbeaten. Unbelievable. And undoubtedly deserving of their spot in the four-team college football playoff.
Yes, sir, they are. They're going to be in it. Look at this scene.
Everybody spilling out of the stands here at Nippert Stadium and rushing onto the field.
Every time I hear that, I feel the same. The hair stands up on my arms. That roar, that deafening roar through the radio is unbelievable. I thought there was one man we should turn to tonight to get to a continuing perspective on this. He is a UC Hall of Famer, played as a Bearcat, longtime broadcaster. He is synonymous with the university, and I always enjoy spending a few minutes with him. It would be Jim Kelly, Jim Kelly Jr. Jim, how are you?
I'm good, Lance. How are you?
Oh, I'm fantastic. I thought so much of you Saturday night, and I wonder, as you look down from above in that broadcast perch to that stadium filled with fans, what was that like? What did that mean to you?
Yeah, so first of all, you heard the eloquent words of Mr. Dan Horde, right?
Yes.
not just that call, but earlier on Jerome Ford's 42-yard scamper where he said, pulling away like Secretariat at the Belmont. I mean, being next to him is incredible, and I could never try to match what he said, but what both of us were feeling, and all of us, Brad Ellis, who's our stats guy, Mo Egger, who's up there in the booth as well, all of us, it was really hard to talk for me at that particular point in time, which is I'm going to use as an excuse why I came off saying such stupid stuff there while Dan was, being so brilliant. But that being said, it was unbelievable. It really is. And, I'm getting goosebumps right now again just listening to you guys run it there. Watching it, you knew that they were, that the fans, first of all, you knew the game was won, and Dan did a great job again on the call. And then you saw the fans coming down, and it was literally like, particularly the student section, like watching an hourglass with the sand running out. Wow. You just saw everybody go down to the field, and you saw that mass of humanity on the field. And it was unbelievable, and it was just a culmination of just one of those special years. And, there were other huge moments during this year that got you to that point. But to see that at home and the way that it came down this past Saturday night was absolutely incredible.
Yes, so many different points, as you said, because the journey that that these players and this coaching staff went through, the expectations, the obstacles, before it all started, most had reduced it to just Indiana and Notre Dame, got to win those games. But they handled all of it. They stared down all of it, Jim.
What they did is so hard to do. So, I mean, first of all, let's look at it this way. They're the only one in the country that was able to do it. Now, you can always make the argument, well, you strike the schedule, and that's what all the big guys are saying right now. But they did it, It doesn't matter. And you're right. There was a lot of, if you think about the preseason, hey, you guys are going to be really good, but can you run the table? Well, then they got through the gauntlet there of Indiana and Notre Dame. And that was great. That was a huge accomplishment. And as it comes back to, as you play it all out now, the Notre Dame win is the one that got him into the playoffs. And even Marcus Freeman, who was interviewed several times this week, you know, was asked, said, do you realize the fact that Cincinnati beat you guys at home, that's what got them in the playoffs? And he goes, yes. And, of course, he was classy in everything he said about the Bearcats. But that being said, then you start getting to a league that's, you know, probably had some teams that they thought were going to do better and some teams that they thought might be better when they played them. And then you get down to the last kind of go-round and, you know, you get into three really good teams down the stretch. And they were able to pull it off and win it all. And, again, what they did was absolutely 100% incredible. It really was.
Jim, you've played for UC coaches. You've been around them. You've been at practice. You've interviewed them over the years. What is it about Luke Fickell?
Yeah. He is special. There's nothing I can say to change that. I mean, he really is. I've been around a lot of good ones. You know, and I think maybe since I've been broadcasting eight, I played for two more. I probably knew a couple before that when my dad was on the staff and I was a youngster. This guy is really, really special. There were other ones I really liked that I thought were special as well. There were a couple that I thought were not so good, and we won't go into right. that. I mean, that's a conversation over a beer some
yes.
night, and maybe a couple of beers.
Yes.
But that being said, he really is special. And what I think, it's not the X and O's. That's a big part of it. And he surrounded himself with great coaches that makes the X and O's that much better. But it's the way that he gets these guys prepared for the game. And quite honestly, it's him. It's the way that he would do it. If you look at what he was able to do as a high school wrestler, where he lost, I think, a first exhibition, or it might have even been as a freshman, he lost his first match, and he never lost another one in 4 years. He has himself so prepared, and he's so focused, and you know, we all heard it. We saw it on TV, or we heard it in his, you know, in the radio shows we did at Montgomery Inn, where he would say, you know, look, I don't know anything about what you're talking about. I don't look at the polls. I don't look at this. I don't do that. I've got my head down. I'm under a rock. You know, part of that's coach speak, but part of it's true. And the true part of it is he's kept himself so focused, and he does that, and he brings that to his guys, and he's able to, you know, convey that to these guys. And, you know, they're young kids, and yeah, they're looking at their social media. They're, you know, they're watching television, they're watching Sports Center, whatever. They're listening to Lance McAllister, you know, so they know what's going on. But that being said, he's still able to keep them focused. He really is special. And you put on top of that, what an incredible guy he is.
Yeah.
He's just a wholesome guy. He really is. I mean, there's nothing phony. There's nothing bad about the guy. It's hard to, you know, it's hard to find a fault. I think he's great. And like all of us, we, you know, we hope he sticks around a long time.
No doubt. Jim Kelly Jr. hanging out. A couple more minutes here on Sports Talk tonight. I thought Justin Williams had a great point from The Athletic. He was watching the game broadcast back, and he watched Des Ritter in his post game when he was interviewed down on the field on ABC. And Justin pointed out how great an ambassador, a representative of the university that Des Ritter is, and it's so spot on. There is so much on his plate beyond just football, and the way he's handled it, I'm blown away by it.
I would agree with you, and the fact of the matter is that maybe midway through the season this year, we do Coach Fickell does a Tuesday press conference where everybody goes down and he recaps the previous week's game and he talks about the opponent and he, you know, fields other questions. Well, about midway through the season, he said, you know what, I'm going to do this till whatever. It started at noon, and mm-hmm. we'd go to maybe 12:20 or so, and he goes, then Desmond Ritter's going to take over. You know how many coaches in America would let their quarterback walk down there, talk to the press, and walk out of the room?
That's a great point.
Very few.
Great point.
Very few. But that being said, Luke Fickell was comfortable with that. He didn't stick around. He didn't watch Des to make sure he didn't say anything wrong. He had that much confidence in this young man. So your point is so well taken. This guy not only was able to do it on the field, I mean, he's a mature young man. Yeah, you know, he's 22. I'm not even sure of his age. Might be 23 because he's been around a while. But he has matured into a very mature young man. And as you said, Lance, he's been able to juggle all this, not just the football side of it, but the, you know, the notoriety side of it, you know, unfortunately he didn't make it to the Heisman thing this weekend in New York, but he had one heck of a year. And the reason he didn't make it to the Heisman thing is he played the system that Cincinnati put out there. Yeah. It wasn't a statistical thing. It wasn't something was going to get him 350 yards a game, you know, passing the ball, but he did what it took to win the game. So I can't say enough good about him either. He was fabulous, and he's been a pleasure to watch grow throughout his 5 years here at Cincinnati.
Hey, I could do this all night. I always love talking with you, and I always appreciate your time and insight. Thank you for tonight, and if the time allows, I'd love to boogie maybe one more time before the Cotton Bowl and preview the game.
No doubt about it. I'd love to be on, and again, go Bearcats.
Thanks, Jim. Take care.
All right, Lance. All right. Thank you.
There you go, Jim Kelly Jr. Man, that is good stuff. I love stuff like that. You know, as Saturday night was unfolding, and my son told me the story of his experience, and it's made me think about two groups of people related to UC football. Maybe you fall into one of the two groups. I want to talk about that as we continue. It's RNL Global Logistics Sports Talk, presented by Kelsey Chevrolet, 700 WLW.
02.
724 700 WLW, RNL Global Logistics Sports Talk, presented by Kelsey Chevrolet. Visit Kelsey Truck Country, Route 50 in Lawrenceburg, the tri-state's newest and largest truck superstore with lifetime powertrain protection. KelseyTruck.com. I'm Lance McAllister, Matt Steinman on the other side of the glass. We work till 9, so we've got ground to cover. Thanks for all the tweets. I'm on Twitter at Lance McAllister. I would be honored if you followed. We're at some 74,680. We'd love for you to be 74,681. Then you can be a part of the conversation and involved in the show. During the show and outside the show, the Twitter feed presented by my friends at Barleycorns, three locations in Northern Kentucky. Barleycorns, get over here. Let me get you caught up on some headlines. There's some news and notes of note that we should get to, and then I want to set up a Bearcats topic tonight. And then we'll talk with the three state championship football coaches. We'll talk with Chad Murphy from Winton Woods at 8:06 tonight. Dan McSterley of Clinton Massey coming up at 7:50. Noel Rash of Beachwood coming up at 8:20. So be prepared for that. Your headlines. Bengals today nominated Sam Hubbard for their 2021 Walter Payton NFL Man of the Year Award. The award recognizes an NFL player for outstanding community service activities off the field as well as excellence on the field. All 32 team nominees receive a $40,000 donation in their name to the charity of their choice. The winner receives $250,000 in a donation to the charity of choice. Hubbard will wear a Walter Payton Man of the Year helmet decal through the remainder of the 2021 season. Bengals return to the practice field tomorrow in preparation for Sunday's showdown with the 49ers at Paul Brown Stadium. Bengals actually move from the number 7 seed to the number 6 seed in the AFC playoff pecking order when the Patriots beat the Bills last night. San Francisco, meanwhile, sits in the 7th and final NFC playoff spot. The Bengals, if you're into the uniform watch, will wear black jerseys, white pants, and orange stripes on Sunday. If you follow that type of stuff, you may be aware they are 0-3 in black jerseys this year. There is bad news today on the Bengals injury front. ESPN and Jeremy Fowler tweeting earlier this afternoon that linebacker Logan Wilson is expected to miss an extended period of time from his shoulder injury. The original hope from the team was it would be 1 or 2 games. Now, according to the ESPN report, it is probably going to be longer. There are just 5 games left in the regular season. College football, after coaching the country's only remaining unbeaten team into the college football playoffs, Luke Fickell named the Home Depot Coach of the Year today. He's the second UC coach to win the award, joining Brian Kelly back in 2009. Fickell will receive the award Thursday at 7 on ESPN's award show. Fickell, one of 13 finalists for the Eddie Robinson Coach of the Year Award, presented by the Football Writers Association of America. Football roster news for the Bearcats. They have landed a transfer kicker, Ryan Coe from Delaware. He made 14 of 17 field goals this season, including longs of 48, 51, and 53. He was also perfect on 23 point afters for the Delaware Fighting Blue Hens this past season. College basketball, number 10, Kentucky is at Rupp. They are hosting Southern. That game is on ESPN 1530. I can give you an update on that. Kentucky trailing the Southern Jaguars 19-15 with about 9 minutes to go in the first half. The Jaguars coached by former Kentucky Wildcat and UK Hall of Famer Sean Woods. Major League Baseball is on a lockout, but keep in mind, it's business as usual for the minor leagues. The Dayton Dragons announcing today they will host the Fort Wayne Tin Caps on April the 8th, the opener of their 132-game season that will include 66 home games. And in hockey, Blue Jackets are skating at Toronto. That game is on Fox Sports 1360. And that game, early first period, midway through the first period, has the Maple Leafs leading the Blue Jackets 1-0. All right, I want to get into the Bearcats for a little bit of time before Dan McSurley of Clinton Massey joins me. And Casey related a story of his experience at the UC game on Saturday night. And they were, his group of friends at UC were watching the game. They were not there. They were watching it at the house. And they decided in the late stages they were going to go to the stadium and try to get in. And the first couple of ushers like, no, no, no. They said, hey, can we, you know, clock's about to run out. They're going to storm the field. Can we get down there? And the ushers, no. So they tried another aisle. And the usher, she kind of turned her back and walked away and says, I don't see anything. And so they ran down the aisle and they got down onto the field. And he told me during the trophy celebration, he was sitting on the UC bench. And here's Casey, a UC fan, UC student who's experiencing that moment. And it hit me. And I thought about this in terms of millennials and younger. You know, I've had moments. I'm 55. I've told you about the moments I've experienced. He had, as a 22-year-old, he had a moment. Moments have been few and far between if you were, you know, if you're of that age, if you're under the age of 40. And I thought about that, and then I thought about the diehards and what they've experienced and what they got to experience with UC football Saturday night. I want to address that as we continue. Thanks for hanging out tonight. Let's get a check on news. It's RNL Global Logistics Sports Talk. It's presented by Kelsey Chevrolet at 700 WLW. 737 700 WLW, RNL Global Logistics Sports Talk, presented by Kelsey Chevrolet. RNL Global Logistics, delivering domestic and international transportation services. Visit rlglobal.com. Don't forget, if you want to listen to the show live, if you want to catch an interview or a show that you perhaps have missed, you can do it through the iHeartRadio app. I have a podcast page. The podcast can be found at 700wlw.com. Also, through that, free to download iHeartRadio app. And the podcast is presented by the NKU Norse men's basketball team. Thanks to them for that. If you missed Bengals Line last night with players and coaches, me and Lap for 3 hours, you can listen to that through the podcast page as well. So I've been thinking about this since Saturday night and the impact of Saturday night. And Cincinnati sports fans, I'm not telling you anything you don't know. If you're under the age of 40, you haven't had many experiences. Saturday night was a moment when the UC Bearcats punched their ticket to the college football playoffs. Casey got into Nippert Stadium and got to celebrate down on the field during the trophy presentation. He was showing me the videos, and him and his friends were taking selfies with Alec Pierce. And he had a moment he will always remember. I've had plenty of moments in my life as a Cincinnati sports fan. 1975 Reds, 1976 Reds, World Series titles, two Bengals teams making the Super Bowl, being at the Freezer Bowl with my face painted as they punched their ticket to the first Super Bowl. Two Final Four trips for my school, my basketball program, the Butler Bulldogs. Cincinnati sports fans born after 1982 or so, you figure, you know, 8 years old to maybe appreciate things, right around 82, 83, 84, they haven't had moments. They aren't old enough to have really appreciated even the 1990 World Series Reds. Or the UC Final Four team in 1992. So I've been thinking about that, of what that means. We've often talked about, there was a column a couple of years ago, and we did it, I think it was from the New York Times, about they grab you when you're young. and those moments that are kind of seared in your brain that make you a fan or kind of change you as a fan because you got to experience it. So I've been thinking about that on one end of the spectrum. You know who else I've been thinking about? The cool feeling Saturday night for the diehard UC football fans. Those who have lived and experienced UC football from years past. What Jim Kelly Jr. said, I got goosebumps, talking about how it impacted him. People who have rooted for that program and lived through, followed through, supported through lean times. We're season ticket holders and have been. But I can tell you, as a kid growing up, I don't remember going to that many UC football games. My favorite football player growing up was Archie Griffin. I stood in line to get Archie Griffin's autograph at a mall one of his seasons at Ohio State, or maybe after he had graduated. And I still have the poster of Archie in his Ohio State uniform that he autographed. And you think about Nippert in the 70s and 80s. You think about the Ralph Staub era, the Watson Brown era that was 11 games. Dave Curry was here to compile a record of 19-36. Tim Murphy was here with a record of 17-37. Minter and D'Antonio and Brian Kelly and Butch Jones and all that goof Tommy Tuberville. I remember the Papa John's Bowl in 2007. It was me, Casey, and my dad. We road tripped to Legion Field in Birmingham, Alabama. Oh, you talk about a hellhole. And we watched them in the cold and in the rain beat Southern Miss that day. I remember when Rick Minner joined me a couple of weeks ago here on Sports Talk talking about moments and what it was like trying to create interest in the UC football program. And I went back and I watched that the upset win over Ron Dayne in Wisconsin. And I watched the goalpost come down that day. The goalpost were taken. There were fans clinging to, hopping up and down on the goalpost, and they brought them down that day in 1999. So I thought about younger folks, like kids. My son's not a kid, but you get, someone in his 20s or millennials who haven't had moments. And I thought about the diehards who, man, so much have to savor a moment like Saturday night to the point of goosebumps, if not tears, in appreciation of where UC football was and what it did Saturday night. It's going to the Final Four. UC football is the only undefeated team out of 130 teams in college football. And in a college football world of the Alabamas and Oklahomas and Ohio States and Penn States and Michigans and LSUs and all the blue bloods you want, the UC Bearcats are in that company in the college football playoff. And I've been thinking a lot about the spectrum of the impact in age to how Saturday night must have hit those individuals. We go cell phoning. Hey, Mark, welcome to Sports Talk.
Hey, Lance, good evening. How are you?
I'm well. How about you?
Good, good. Well, hey, I got to tell you my story because I think it's a good one. I'm lifelong Cincinnati, and I've been a UC fan for years, went there, graduated there. But I started going to UC games when I was back in the 60s with a friend of mine, whose father was a doctor, and he was a graduate of UC in medical school. And his mom would take us down to the hospital, and we'd meet his dad down there while he was making rounds, and we'd go to the UC game. Then we'd come back, and he'd make his rounds, and we'd go home. And, I mean, they were hard, lifelong UC fans. And, I mean, we all witnessed some really, really bad football over the years. Even those teams with Greg Cook and Jim O'Brien, who I saw play, I mean, those teams were okay, but they were nothing special.
Yeah.
We were there Saturday night, and I'll tell you, at the end of the game with that celebration, both of us stood and we just, we've never seen anything like this. We never thought we'd see anything like this.
Yeah.
And I shot pictures and whatnot. I'm planning to blow those up, and I'm actually going to give some to my friends. I'm going to put one in my office.
Nice.
Right next to the picture I have below of Joe Morgan hugging Marty Brenneman.
Yes. Oh.
I mean, it was an unbelievable feeling to watch that. I just looked at that in awe, and I thought, this is something I'm never going to forget. And I don't know if we'll ever see something like that again, but it was absolutely an experience that I will never forget.
Very well said. Hey, Mark, thanks, buddy.
Thank you.
Have a great night. When we continue, let's start a run of state championship coaches. How about Clinton Massey? Clinton Massey was down 28-7 in the state championship game on Friday. 28-7 with about 17 minutes left in the game. They rally all the way back. They score to pull within one with 45 seconds left in a state championship game. Do you kick the PAT and go to overtime, or do you roll the dice and go for two? We'll talk with the head coach who turned it over to his seniors at that point, and they said, "We're going for the win." And they got it. Dan McSurley, head coach of Clinton Massey football, the state champs, checks in next. It's R&L Global Logistics Sports Talk, presented by Kelsey Chevrolet, 700 WLW.
Natty.
6:51, make it 7:51 on 700 WLW. It's R&L Global Logistics Sports Talk. It's presented by Kelsey Chevrolet. I'm Lance McAllister. Very excited to welcome in our first guest tonight, second guest tonight. Man, what a story. Clinton Massey, the Falcons are the state champs. They win Friday in Canton in amazing comeback fashion. They trailed 28-7 with about 17 minutes left. They rally all the way back. They win the game on a two-point conversion with about 45 seconds left. For more on that, let's go straight to the source. Welcome in the head coach of the state champs. That would be Dan McSurley. Coach, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing real good. How are you?
I'm fantastic. It has been, a couple of days, 4 days now. Has it sunk in?
Well, yeah, it's starting to. It's been a real heck past 3 days. You kind of got to heal up over the weekend, and we get back to school yesterday, and the school's pretty electric. It's been a lot of fun. A lot of people have been calling in, but I guess we're going to make this tour for the next couple weeks, and hopefully things will settle down and get back to normal.
Unbelievable. Take me back to Friday. You score to pull within one with 45 seconds to go. You've got a decision to make. Point after to tie it, maybe overtime, or you go for two. Take me through that decision.
Man, it happens so fast. And, I called a timeout. You know, I got a kicker. He's a first-year kicker. He never played football before, even though he's a fabulous extra point kicker and just a kicker in general. It's his first year of football, and I was thinking, my gosh, do I put a kid like that in that kind of situation? My coach upstairs, Coach Z, the offensive coordinator, he said, "Coach, just let the kids make the decision." So I just went out and I said, "Guys, what do you want to do?" I asked the seniors, and they were all go for two, and that was pretty much it. So, we had a real good play set up in the go for two. It was a play that these kids have been running since third grade.
Wow.
It's our 16 option. That's the very first play that these third graders learn in our offense, and they executed it perfectly. And what's cool is all four backs were involved in the play. You know, the quarterback, he fakes to the fullback. If you don't like it, he'll keep it, and then he obviously has the option to pitch or keep. We have the halfback. The right halfback goes out. That's called the junction block. He made a beautiful block on the corner. The only kid that could really make a play, and it was just Carson Van Hoos ran in for the 2 point. But it was surreal. It really was. It was a very unbelievable experience. But like I said, it happened so fast. You really ain't got time to think. You just got to kind of go with your gut. But I thought the kids were the ones who really called that play, not me.
Oh, what a great story. I got chills when you told that story going back to third grade. You know, I got an email from one of the parents of one of the players a couple of days ago pointing out that group of seniors, if you go back to Pee-wee through junior high through freshman, I think he said they're like 101-5 as a group. What a historic group of seniors.
Yeah, I mean, it really is. We talked about it. You reminisce a little bit. And when those guys were third graders, the Pee-wee coaches, which is my offensive coordinator, his son is my quarterback, there were about 24 of them, and they said they were trying to pick positions, and they just said, "Well, you pick your offense, I'll pick my defense." And they kind of stuck through it all the way through their senior year, and they kind of kept that very same position that they played when they were in third grade. So it's really unique, and it is a lot of fun to coach these guys all the way through.
Coach, what has the community and the community sport support meant to the program?
Well, we're kind of a rural school, and we don't really have our community is our school. We have Clarksville. I think it's got one traffic light. I don't think Harveysburg has any. But, you know, the only business, we had a couple gas stations, a Dollar General, but, you know, we're an exurb, you know, we're a bedroom community. So the community itself is the school. So, you know, when your community is the school, it's like you really, you know, you really support each other, and the community involvement and just the support in general was just unbelievable.
This was your 26th year. You go back to 2002, things really take off. Man, how proud you must be of the foundation of what's been built for Clinton Massey football.
Yeah, you know, and it's just the continuity. You know, I got a great staff. Scott Rolfe, Jessica Zantini, Doug Howard. Doug Howard is the elementary physical education teacher, and he's been there. And he's the only one in the elementary phys ed teacher. I think he teaches 850 kids all by himself. So he, you know, he's been with me the whole time. Scott Rolfe, you know, he left, was the head coach at Northeastern for, I think, 6 years. He came back, and he was with me the whole time. So those guys have been with me for 26 years. Jetski has been with me since the mid-2000s. But it's just a lot of continuity in the coaching staff. And then we got guys that are coming back now. We got some younger coaches that played for me. Now they're back in the system. So hopefully we're set up for a few years to come.
Coach, you probably have guys that played for you who now have sons who are playing for you now, right?
Oh, absolutely. I got the Tramplers. I got the Clutters.
Wow.
And a lot of these guys that I coach now, their kids are coming up through the Pee Wee ranks, and, you know, now they're coaching in the youth program. So, like I said, it's just a lot of continuity in the coaching staff. And, you know, we haven't made a lot of changes. It's the same system, offense and defense. And I really think that makes a tremendous impact on your program.
I mentioned you were down 28-7 with about 17 minutes left, but and you talked about it after the game, and man, with this group, you can understand why. They never panicked. They never got out of character. They never went haywire. They stayed focused, didn't they?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's all about momentum, and you know, we lost that momentum in the second quarter, and they scored some touchdowns, and, you know, we went into half. We just knew that, you know, if we make the play, get a couple stops, you know, we're going to get that momentum back, and we did. Halfway through that third quarter, we kind of recaptured the momentum of the game, and we just kept it all the way to the end. And high school football is just kind of like that. It's just all about momentum, and if you can get it, you're gonna have a good shot of winning the game.
Coach, I'm so happy for you. I know how busy. I can only imagine how busy you've been, and the fact that you grabbed the phone for a few minutes means a lot. Thank you for sharing the story. Go enjoy this, and congratulations.
Hey, thanks, Lance. Really appreciate it.
You got it. Take care, Coach.
Okay, thanks.
There you go. Dan McSorley, Clinton Massey. Wow. What third grade. Going back, Pee-wee. The seniors, 101-5. Are you kidding me? That is fantastic. We'll talk with the head coach of Winton Woods, Chad Murphy, coming up after news, and Noel Rash of Beachwood after that. We got into a little UC conversation as well, and the that moment experienced on Saturday night. Let me go to Pleasant Ridge. Christina, welcome to Sports Talk.
Hey, Lance.
Hey.
From here. I was a student from 84 to 89, graduated in 89, and all of our games were actually down at Riverfront Coliseum.
Yeah.
Because we, Nipper was all falling apart. So I've had season tickets since 2004, and needless to say, back in those days, we weren't all that good, but I'll tell you, you know, when Brian Kelly was there, we went to the Orange Bowl, and then we went to the Sugar Bowl. That was awesome, but I'll tell you, though, being there Saturday night, I mean, now your son was there. Were you not there?
I was not there, no.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah.
Because,
yeah.
I mean, it was just, you could see it on TV, but it was just to be there. And it was just so loud. All the people cheering. Oh. And, I mean, I took video of it. It was just, it was a special, special moment.
Yeah.
Especially after all the years we, you know, in college when I couldn't even go to games on campus. And then
after college,
you know, just going to the games when we just weren't good.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I was there. I was there for all of them.
Love it. Love it. Christina, thanks for listening. Thank you for calling.
Okay.
All right. Let's do this. We put 1 hour in the books. One more to go. That's dotted with a coach's theme, a continuing coach's theme we'll do on this date in sports history. You got a preview of that in this hour. We teased you for what's coming up an hour from now. It's the R&L Global Logistics Sports Talk. It's presented by Kelsey Chevrolet on 700 WLW.
The following takes place between 8 p.m. and 9 p.m.
All right, let's keep it moving. 808 on 700 WLW. It's R&L Global Logistics Sports Talk presented by Kelsey Chevrolet. I'm Lance McAllister. Very pleased and appreciative of the fact you are tuned in. Hang with me. You've got this hour to cover a lot of ground. Let's do this. Very excited to talk with our next guest. Thursday night, Winton Woods won the Ohio Division II State Championship 21-10 over Akron Hoban to give first-year head coach Chad Murphy his first state championship as well. For more on that, let's go straight to the source and welcome in the head coach of the state champs. That would be Chad Murphy. Coach, how are you?
Doing great. Doing great. Glad to be here. I appreciate you guys.
It is great to hear your voice. Congratulations on the season. What have the last couple of days since winning it? I mean, pep rallies, keys to the city, police escort. What's it been like?
Oh, it's been crazy. I mean, it's literally been, just unreal. Like just 100 mile an hour. And really, it started probably the Monday before the state championship. And then obviously, you know, with the win, it's just accelerated since.
Safe to say your phone's blown up a little bit?
Oh yeah, it's unreal, absolutely unreal.
What's it like coming home to see state champs in your front yard?
Yeah, I tell you, it's literally, we got off the exit and they already had it up at Park Place, a local restaurant there in Forest Park, and then obviously my favorite Skyline. They had it up, I believe, the next day. Almost a dream come true, to tell you the truth.
Tell me about the season, because this was your first year. You started 1-2. What then clicked? Was an identity discovered? What took place at that point?
Well, I just think it was all the above. Obviously, Coach Parker was there for 11 years. Anytime you lose somebody that's been someplace 11 years, there's obviously some change, and change is tough on everybody. I think it starts there, but like you said, I mean, it was finding who we are. Defensively, we played state championship defense since week one. But it was more offensively. There's a little bit more intricacies on the offensive side of the ball. I mean, we were still rotating quarterbacks until about mid-season, trying to find somebody to take it. Obviously, Austin Buddy Ellery did, and obviously ran with it. But just new offensive coordinator, new defensive coordinator, new special teams coordinator, new head coach, a lot of finding. Specifically offensively, just finding an identity, something to hang our hat on. And like I said, once we figured out it was going to be the run game, it was kind of lights out.
Boy, you mentioned that defense; they certainly got after it Thursday night.
Yeah, I mean it's. I think old boy ended up with 120 in the state championship game, but that's only the second 100-yard rusher all season long. And I think the other one was Turpin the first time we played him, and that back's a really good back, and they're good O-line, they're coached well. But even that game, they were less than 100-yard rushing as a team from sacks and tackles for loss on other guys. So, yeah, they just a lot of really good football players. Obviously, a great defensive coordinator, Carlton Gray. I tell you, a lot of guys that just run to the football and get there in a hurry.
You mentioned the reaction pulling off the exit. What's the community support and the reaction been throughout this entire season?
It's been great. I mean, obviously, people talk about, now when we're winning. But, it's human nature. It's human nature. The more success people have, the more following you're going to get. But I'll tell you, that was probably the best atmosphere I've ever been a part of on Thursday evening. I really believe we had more fans than they did. And we were on the home side. And I'll tell you, it was electric between our band and the cheerleaders. you know, when you're noticing this kind of stuff with headphones on, you know something good's going on.
Exactly, exactly. We're talking with Chad Murphy, head coach of the state champion Wynton Woods Warriors. Tom Gamble told me, now you can confirm this, that you might have a liking for, perhaps an obsession for, Skyline Chili. Is that correct?
Yeah, he's not lying. He's not lying. Yeah, he's not lying. I tell you, I don't know how I don't weigh way more than I do. Way more than I do with as much of that as I eat.
That is beautiful. Boy, I've been following the football account's Twitter feed. It looks like recruiting wise, visit wise, it's been a who's who of coaches rolling into that school lately.
Yeah, it's been great. I mean, obviously, every piece of this, every bit of this is great for our kids. I mean, all the above, and especially this recruiting piece. And, you know, I mean, people want to recruit winners, and Wynton Woods has never hurt for, you know, to put out top talent anyway. And we've just got a lot of really, really, really good high school football players. So it's been a blessing. Some call it, you know, some guys have recruiting coordinators in their high schools and have other guys deal with that. But I tell you, there's no piece of this puzzle better than obviously seeing kids develop into great young men, but giving guys opportunities and assisting them getting to the next level. You know, I was a first college guy, first person to go to college in my family, and without football, I don't know where I'd be. So I really enjoy this piece of it. It's been, I bet we've had 15 plus in the last couple of days.
Wow.
A full day tomorrow as well. So everywhere from D1 to D3 and you know, NAIA, but you know, there's a place to play for everybody, and the bottom line is getting an opportunity to get an education.
So what happens now? Do you get to relax? Do you get to kick your feet up, or is it back into the weight room tomorrow? What's life like now?
Well, you opened up the show saying it was my first go around, so that's what I assumed. That's what I assumed. I thought we'd be on cruise control here, and with the 30-day state mandate, you know, you're not allowed to be with them. But Thursday, we're going to the Capitol building in Columbus to get recognized there. Saturday morning, we've got a parade, a holiday parade that we're going to be a part of in Forest Park, Green Hills. And then Sunday, we're getting recognized at the Bengals game. So,
oh man, geez,
it's unreal.
Well, geez, coach, you're in your first year and you win a title. You should ease in it. You got to win like four or five or six and build up to one. You win in your first year, they think you're going to do this every year.
I know. We just raised the bar a little bit, I guess.
Hey, I'm so happy for you. I know you're busy, and I appreciate you grabbing the phone for a few minutes to talk about it. And go enjoy this thing, and thank you for calling in tonight.
Yes, sir. Appreciate all you guys do.
You got it. Thanks, Coach.
Yes, sir.
All right, there you go. Chad Murphy, Wynton Woods Warriors state champs. First year, his first year there, state champs, 21-10 over Akron Hoban. That is very cool. Another one to get to. Three state championships, three coaches. How about Noel Rash of Beachwood? I just sent him a text and I said, hey, coach, just a reminder, we're going to be calling you at about 8:20. His response was, giddy up. So we'll talk with Noel Rash about a state championship with him as we continue. It's R&L Global Logistics Sports Talk presented by Kelsey Chevrolet, 700 WLW.
9.
821 700 WLW. It's R&L Global Logistics Sports Talk presented by Kelsey Chevrolet. I'm Lance McAllister. Thanks for hanging out tonight. Let's welcome in our next guest. The Beachwood Tigers are Class 2A champs. Beachwood senior Jake Conrad connected on a 36-yard field goal with about a minute 45 left to give Beachwood a 23-21 win over Lexington Christian Academy on Friday. Second straight state championship. They're 15-0. For more on that, let's welcome in their head coach. That would be Noel Rash. Coach, how are you?
Lance, I'm doing great. I appreciate you having me on.
It is great hearing your voice. Congratulations.
Thank you. It was one heck of a season, and you know, our kids were incredible throughout the entire year.
Boy, I think, Coach, fans may lose sight of, it's not just a season. It's a journey that begins in January and goes through the summer and the dog days and through a season. There's a lot to it, isn't there?
There is, and that's kind of what we harp on, believe it or not, at the end of the year. We're talking about what we did in the summer. In fact, I tell the kids all the time, this is what August was all about. This is what, you know, June through August was all about. And they responded.
36-yard field goal in the cold to win a state championship. That's a clutch kick, Coach.
Yeah, and Lance, he is a tremendous kid. I mean, you know, he's every parent's dream. I mean, he's that kind of kid. He's just he's first class on and off the field is the best way to put it. So you always have kids you root for. He's one of those kids you root for. You want to see great things happen for him, and I'm so glad that and it makes sense that he came through because he's so conscientious about his job and what he needs to do.
Coach, what did that senior class mean? The way they carried themselves, the culture they carried for that program.
Well, and you keep hitting the nail on the head because that's exactly what it's about, is carrying that Beachwood tradition of culture that was built way before I was ever there, and to continue that. It's just a lunch pail, blue collar kind of thing, and being, you know, a lot of humility has got to be in there. You know, people, we're very fortunate and we've won a lot and done all those things, and that's when you got to, humility is going to become even a bigger part of your program because your work speaks for itself, and our kids really have followed that mantra, and I think it has a lot to do with why we came out on top.
You guys went up against a stud running back they had who's going to the ACC to play at Virginia. I think he rushed over 1,500 yards. He held him to 66 yards. Tell me about the job your defense did.
Well, our defense has been pretty stout all year. I think our offensive line and D-lines really had a lot to do with it. You know, the possession time was 31 for us and 17 for them. So that was a big part of keeping him off. But our defense got to him. We hit him early. He fumbled the ball, and then I think we dinged him somewhere in that middle to late second quarter where he was not right. He didn't touch the ball a whole lot after that.
Cam Hurgit came back, your quarterback, winds up 8,500 career passing yards, like 97 touchdowns, over 4,000 yards rushing, 29 rushing touchdowns. Holy cow, what is I guess you could write a book about his legacy.
You could, and it's Lance, I've never, you know, 31 years, I've never experienced a player with that kind of, you know, talent. I've seen talent at a very high level, but you add in the competitive spirit and the way he practices. We do a lot of our offense from the 40-yard line, our upfield offense. We just kind of keep it on the 40 and you know, rerun our plays and do all that. And anytime he's asked to carry the ball in practice, he scores, so that means he's doing 40 yards. Mm. So when you got that kind of talent with that kind of light on them, and they know how to respond, and like you said about the culture, the kids carrying that culture, that will carry over to those freshmen and sophomores and those kids that watched him do that. And I can't, you can't put a price tag on it.
What's the reaction been around the school in the community?
Yeah, right. I mean, I'm on with you, so that tells you something, right? I mean, that tells you a lot. So it's you know, the place that they love excellence. The parents do everything they can so our kids come to us ready to play football and not have to do a lot of other things with them. And so they were excited. You know, it was a great day down there. The one thing you got wrong, you said it was a cold. It was 70 degrees.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I'm lost in the moment now. It was nice. Yeah.
Yeah, it was really nice. So we were able to have a little celebration in the bleachers on the football field when we got back. And that turnout was incredible. I think there was somewhere around 8,000 or 9,000 fans. And that's one of the highest attended games, you know, so there was just a lot of great things, but you know, everybody's so receptive and so grateful and thankful. And so again, very fortunate to be in that community and be a part of that program.
Coach, what's that pipeline mean to have players that are so young that want to be a part of this when they're peewee football players who grow through that and become what they become when they're seniors?
It's neat to watch, you know. You know, when I was coaching across the river, we went up to Maslin, and, you know, Maslin puts that football and all the babies born up there in the hospital up there and all that. You know, and I understand it's one sport, and is it getting an advantage on others, and how the modern era kind of looks at that. But it's such a nice tradition, and it's harmless. And, you know, we...
836 700 WLW. It's R&L Global Logistics Sports Talk presented by Kelsey Chevrolet. I'm Lance McAllister. Hey, thanks for hanging out tonight. Talked a lot of football to this point. Let's not forget basketball. Big doings this week with the Skyline Chili Crosstown Shootout. The men play Saturday at 8, Sunday at 2 at Fifth Third Arena. It's Xavier and UC in the Women's Crosstown Shootout, the 43rd edition, I do believe. And there are less than 1,000 tickets remaining. You can get those at GoBearCats.com. For more on that, let's welcome in the fourth-year head coach of the UC Women. That would be Michelle Clark-Hurd. Coach, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you? Thanks for having me.
You got it. Great to hear your voice. You went toe-to-toe with Ole Miss on Sunday. You're 4-4. How do you feel about this team and the kind of the chemistry developing with a young group?
Yeah, it is. I think you said it best. I think we're getting to the point where the chemistry is starting to get better. And just, you know, when you're young, you got to go through, you know, some of that adversity and start to learn. But I feel like we're getting better and better, and we've played a lot of tough competition. And I think we've learned from that. You know, we went to Ohio State, who was a really good team. And then we came back the next week and we played Central Michigan, had a great game and started out really well and got up on a big lead. And that's something that we hadn't had. So we learned from that situation. And then played Ole Miss, like you said, toe-to-toe. And last 5 minutes just turned the ball over a lot and had some uncostly turnovers.
You've got 8 newcomers, so they're new to this environment, this experience with the shootout on Sunday. What do you tell them about the meaning, the intensity of all this?
Well, I think the great thing for that is, you know, when you recruit, I think you get a chance to talk to the players and stuff a lot. And some of the transfers were already familiar with that, but like you said, have never been in that situation before. I think the most important thing is, it's always going to be a big game, and you're going to always have to treat it, you know, like we understand it's a crosstown shootout. But we also have to really focus on us, too, and trying to make sure we can protect our home court and trying to make it for this young team about us and making sure we're focusing on that.
You've got a junior point guard, Akira Levy. She's dynamic, man. She's got some energy, doesn't she?
She does. Let me tell you, she keeps me on my toes every day. I love having the ability to coach her. Loves the game, just makes everyone else around her better, and her energy is contagious. So the players are still learning and continuing to grow to learn how to catch her passes and how those things happen. But it's just fun to watch, fun to coach, and fun to watch us grow every single day.
Speaking of growing, last year, obviously, challenging times for everybody, but certainly challenging times for a basketball team going through COVID times. Did that period allow for you and even the team to grow a little?
Oh, definitely it did. I think you don't realize it until you're in the midst of it and you have to go through it. And then once you come, you know, get to the point of where we're at now, where we got fans back in the stands and things, you really start to really understand how tough last year really was. And not only for us as adults, but for our players. And so I just take my hat off to every student athlete, every coach, everyone around the country that went through that. And then, you know, us still trying to find ways to navigate through a lot of those things. Because you think about it, a lot of those students had online classes last year that it wasn't really the whole college experience. So just like Jillian Hayes, she was a freshman last year, but she really didn't really experience the college experience of, you know, being able to walk campus and there's people around and, you know, things like that. So yeah, it's all a big adjustment, you know.
Your defenses are known for being very dynamic, very intricate, with a lot of new players. Have you had to maybe learn a little patience in the learning curve with them?
That's a great word, man. I definitely have. But you know what? I'm really proud of them, and I think that's the growth and how we're showing how much we're growing in these past couple of weeks. We've been really able to add a lot of those mix-ups like you talked about, you know, the defenses and how we do things. And they've really bought into it. And so we had to gradually bring them on with that because, you know, when you have a young group and a lot of newcomers, you don't want them to put them in a position either where they don't feel like they're catching on as fast as they should. So, you know, we're the adults and, you know, we're the coaching staff, and we have to make sure that even though we want to speed up and make sure, you know, we can have this in and that in, you have to always make sure you're gauging and meeting them to the place where they're at.
I mentioned less than 1,000 tickets left. Fans can get them at GoBearCats.com. Man, that place, to be loud, to be hopping, that's going to be fun.
Oh, we're so excited and looking forward to it. And like I said, I think a lot of people, what I'm excited about is for some of the ones that haven't been out to have the opportunity to watch this team, but to see Curry Levy, to see, you know, the Braylon Miltons and the players on our team that are young and energetic and all, you know, the returners that have came back and gotten better. And so I'm really excited about that.
Coach, I always enjoy talking with you. Great catching up. I know you're busy this week getting ready for this, but best of luck.
Thank you so much for having me. Have a great night.
You got it. You too, Coach. Thanks. There you go, Michelle Clark Heard. The women's crosstown shootout Sunday, 2 o'clock, fifth third. UC Xavier, I think it's the 43rd time for the women's crosstown shootout. We'll talk about the men's edition as well as we get later in the week. Certainly on Friday night, we've got a full sports talk on Friday night. I can't wait for that from 6 to 9 o'clock. All right, let's grab some phones. We'll do an on this date before we're done. Got a couple of college basketball notes to get to as well. On the heels of our high school football state championship conversation, let's go cell phoning. Hey, Doug, welcome to Sports Talk.
Thanks, Lance. Hey, real quick, I'm not from Clarksville, but I'm from the east side of town, and I followed that football program the last few years. And a few of the coaches that followed up after your discussion with the Clinton Massey coach really talked about tradition.
Yes.
And what that means to a community and to a program. And, you know, what a lot of people don't realize with Clinton Massey, their only loss of the season was against the Division I Anderson Raptors team, week one of the season.
Mm.
Wow. And once they were in the playoffs, they were the underdog in every game except the first round.
Wow.
Okay? And almost every one of those games during their playoffs went to the very end. McNicholas was one on the very last play. Bloom, when they played Bloom Carroll, all those games they played were just incredible games. And those kids, you talk about class, and you talk about the way they carried themselves on the field. You never saw them pawning, nothing, none of that. I mean, they were just a class group of kids, and I'm telling you, that was a special team. And, you know, I've watched football for a long time, and that was a heck of a football team.
That is great to hear. What an amazing run. What a season. Hey, I'm glad you listened. Thanks for calling tonight.
All right, thank you.
Have a great night, and congrats to all three. I mean, three state championships. From Winton Woods to Beechwood to Clinton Massey. Well done. And again, thanks to all three coaches for checking in tonight. While on the UC theme in this hour, I did not want to let this pass without mentioning and sending out thoughts and prayers to the family of Herb Jones. Sadly, the passing of a UC Hall of Famer. He was the leading scorer and rebounder on that 92 Final Four team. He was just 51 years of age. He was a two-year starter for the Bearcats, team best 18 points a game and 7 rebounds a game during that 92 Final Four season, the only Bearcat to reach 1,000 points in just 2 seasons. And the quote from Hugs was so fitting. When he said, in a lot of ways, Herb was responsible for the resurgence of UC basketball. Hugs said, Herb was the first great player that I recruited to UC. He helped set the tone. He was a big reason why the three California guys, Terry Nelson, Eric Martin, and Corey Blunt, came to UC, held Penny Hardaway to just 12 points in that 92 Elite Eight game. Herb Jones, gone way too soon at the age of 51. Thoughts and prayers to his wife, Lilo, I believe it is. That was a gut punch this week. When we come back, we'll head down the stretch. Final thoughts, questions, comments, concerns. We'll do it on this date in sports history. One of those dates ties to a question I have related to the Reds. We'll do that as we roll on. It's R&L Global Logistics Sports Talk, presented by Kelsey Chevrolet on 700 WLW.
Eddie.
All right, follow me now. Let's go back in time, figure out what happened on this date in sports history. If you're ready now, let's begin on this date, 1937. The Boston Red Sox acquire the contract of 19-year-old Ted Williams. He turned out to be pretty good, I'd say. This date, 1939, Lou Gehrig, at the age of 36, is elected to baseball's Hall of Fame. 1973, Jerry West of the Lakers, the logo, sets an NBA record with 10 steals in a 115-111 loss to the Seattle Supersonics. How about this date, 1975? It's a Bengals note. The Bengals moved to 10-2. Beating the Eagles 31-10 at Veterans Stadium in Philadelphia, the Bengals rush 48 times for 258 yards and 3 touchdowns. 6 Bengals rushed for at least 24 yards. Marvin Cobb picked off 2 passes. This date, 1983, the Reds signed their first major free agent, outfielder Dave Parker, the Cobra. Think of that. Free agency had started after the 1976 season in Major League Baseball. It was not till 1983 the Reds really dabbled in free agency and landed Dave Parker on a two-year contract. This date, 1985, Auburn tailback Bo Jackson beats Iowa quarterback Chuck Long by 45 points in the Heisman Trophy balloting, the closest vote in the 51-year history of the trophy. This date, 2015, I'd forgotten about this. I mean, I knew he was, here, I'll explain. A trade between the Reds and Dodgers for Aroldis Chapman is held up when a police report emerges that the player had fired a gun 8 times after a domestic altercation on October 30th. The trade never went through. Chapman would be traded to the Yankees 3 weeks later. I didn't have the strength to go back and write down all the players the Reds got. I know it was Eric Jagielo, I want to say, a third baseman, Caleb Cotham, who turned out to be a pitching coach in the organization. You know what? I don't even want to go back and look at the rest of it. I shouldn't even start it, because when I look at that trade, I think, oh my God, how did you panic and trade Aroldis Chapman and get that? Matt, do not look that trade up and do not write those names down on the screen. I don't want to know. What I'd be intrigued by is who the trade involving the Dodgers was going to net the Reds. I'm trying to remember. I'd forgotten that they were going to deal him, and on the day of that deal was going through, the report came out. I wonder who the Reds are. I'd have to go back and... No, I don't even want to go back and look at who was rumored to be in that trade, because it would be depressing. All of it happening on this date in sports history. By the way, one more, which I did not have on my original sheet. I will credit Stephen Sharp for pointing this out. It was 12 years ago tonight, 2009. I was at this very moment while I was sitting in this studio. I started the night at Dickman's. I was with Lap for Bengals Line. We were doing Bengals Line from Dickman's up on the stage. They had built us a really nice stage. And at 6:53 p.m. on the nose, the power went out in Fort Wright, Northern Kentucky, and at Dickman's. If I remember correctly, there was a car crash. A car had hit a telephone pole and hit a transformer, and it knocked the power out. So we are on the air at Dickman's, up on the stage doing Bengals Line, and boop, everything out. And I remember the staff at Dickman's lighting a couple of candles, and I remember a couple of people in the crowd like flicking their Bic lighters. And I looked at Lab, and he looked at me, and we said, oh, crap, what are we going to do? Well, I immediately tweeted, oh, crap, the power just went out. And I remember we wound up calling Daryl Parks, my boss at the time, and I said, what do we do? We're off the air. And I think it was basically a set number of minutes he said to wait. And I think Seg ran in here from the newsroom in here, and Seg was on the air filling time. And once that mark of minutes passed, we jumped in our cars, me and Lap, and we drove back here and did the rest of the show from the studios here in Kenwood. And the amazing thing is we had a Bengals player as a guest, and he got in his car and drove here to Kenwood to join us. I thought it was Kyle Cook, but I would defer to Stephen Sharp, who remembers these things that impacted my life much more clearly than I do. And he said he thought it was Evan Mathis. So I'm going to go with Evan Mathis. I thought for a while maybe it was Nate Livings, but he said he believes it was Evan Mathis who jumped in his car, drove here, and joined us in studio to complete the show that started at Dickman's in Fort Wright and ended back here in the studios on this date 12 years ago tonight. There you go. The rest of the story. I was asked when I posted the Dave Parker signing earlier today on my Facebook page, Lance McAllister Sports Talk, and I was asked if that signing is the best free agent signing in Reds franchise history. Now, I thought about that. This date, 1983, Reds free agent signing since 1983. There's been Pete Harnisch was a pretty good signing. They signed him in January of 98. He went 14-7, threw over 200 innings. In 99, he won 16 games. Ron Gant was a pretty good signing. That was taking advantage of the Braves had released him after the ATV accident where he suffered the broken leg, and Jim Bowden signed him and kind of got him healthy. Signed him and waited on him to get healthy for the next season. And in 95, he had 26 homers, drove in 88, stole 23 bases. He had his best year with the Reds that season. Francisco Cordero was a free agent signing. Wayne Krivsky signed him. Pitched 2008 to 2011, saved 73 games. Jeff Shaw was a pretty good free agent signing. If you remember what Dave Parker did, though, after he had had kind of four subpar seasons with the Pirates, had dealt with some injuries and certainly off-field things. But if you remember what Dave Parker did in 84, he hit 16 homers and drove in 94. The next year in 85, he should have won the MVP. He got hosed. He hit 312, 34 homers, 125 ribbies, was an all-star, a silver slugger, finished second to Willie McGee that year. He had no business not winning the MVP that year. And the Reds finished second in the National League West. There's always the Eric Milton signing. Eric Milton was signed for 3 years at $25 million. He went 16-27 with a .583 earned run average. In 2005, Eric Milton lost 15 games with a .647 earned run average. They let him start 34 times, Matt, with a .647 earned run average. I mean, thinking back to that, they let him start 34 times. He served up 40 home runs that year at Great American Ballpark with a .647 earned run average. Matt, remind me not to end the show on such depressing notes in the future. Nick Castellanos, damn good free agent signing. 2 years, one full season plus a COVID season. But, man, when you think of what Dave Parker gave him in his four seasons, I think he's probably the answer as their best free agent signing. I wish I had more time. I don't. By the way, I didn't want to leave out Baden. I talked to three state championship coaches tonight. Baden had a hell of a season in Division III. Their perfect season all the way to the state championship game, and they got beat by a damn good Chardon team. But I did not want to leave them out. Congrats to Baden for a hell of a run through their season in Division III. All right, I got to get out of here now. The news is next, followed by Gary Jeff Walker serving up the nightcap. This has been the R&L Global Logistics Sports Talk, presented by Kelsey Chevrolet, 700 WLW.